As I start, I would like to share a personal word of testimony with each of you. In the spring of 1951, the Billy Graham team came to our city. It was my privilege to help recruit people for the counselor training classes. Little did I realize the blessing that was in store for me. As I attended the counselor classes week after week and began to apply the things I was being taught, I received a new desire to walk with the Lord and to serve Him. By the time the crusade was finished, I discovered that through the singing and the preaching of the Word and the experience gained in counseling, that I had received a new goal and a new purpose in life. Since then, it has been my privilege to share many of these same truths in counselor training classes in various countries throughout the world, including Britain, Europe, Australia, and the New Zealand Crusades. In the past several years, more than 100,000 people have attended our counselor training lectures, and I am glad to welcome you to this group. I thank God for this privilege of fellowship with you, even though it is by tape recording. May we state at the beginning of this series of training sessions that the purpose of these classes is to help equip you for counseling and personal witnessing. For this purpose, we have prepared the class materials and the four lectures. In this, the first lecture, we will be talking about the qualifications of a counselor. In the second lecture, witnessing. In the third, follow-up. And in the fourth and last lecture, procedures in counseling. Each class of instruction is quite different and yet interrelated to the series. If you miss one class, you miss a vital step of preparation. I would suggest that if possible, you attend one class each week for 4 weeks. This will give you time to assimilate the material and complete your home assignment work, which I feel in some ways is more important than the lecture itself. No doubt you have heard the expression, telling isn't necessarily teaching, and listening isn't necessarily learning. You will get very little from this course unless you do complete your home assignment. I trust you will find these lectures helpful, not only for group evangelistic effort, but also for the local church and for you as an individual. When you arrived for the class, you were given a packet of materials which included two booklets. One is entitled, Aids to Personal Counseling and Follow-Up. This booklet includes a memory verse sheet called Steps to Commitment to Christ. You will find this book is just what we call it, AIDS. We trust that the practical information which has been compiled will be of some benefit to you. Be sure to bring it to class so that you can make reference to it from time to time. Please take time to read it through so you will be acquainted with the contents. The second booklet is entitled My Personal Bible Study. Let's take a look at this booklet. A major part of the assignments will be to complete the lessons contained in this booklet. These lessons have been prepared primarily to help the new Christian get started, but we would like you to do the Bible study assignments for two reasons. First, we believe that they will be of some help to you if they are studied thoroughly. Second, you will be able to speak from first-hand knowledge as you explain the Bible study to the inquirer and help him fill in the answer to the first question or so. My personal Bible study consists of four studies. The first one is called My Personal Commitment. The second, My Personal Walk. The third, My Personal Witness and Follow-Up. And the fourth, My Personal Study on My Own. My Personal Commitment, which begins at page 5, has been designed to help crystallize the inquirer's commitment to Christ. There are also several questions to help with the problems of assurance of salvation and restoration. Lesson 2 of this study has to do with the scriptures, prayer, witnessing, and the church. You will also find sermon note blanks to be taken to church and used as the minister speaks. Then there are two scripture verses to be memorized by the seeker or the inquirer. We do not ask you to memorize these verses, however, until you have memorized all the verses on the Steps to Commitment sheet. The second Bible study, called My Personal Walk, begins at page 19. It has been designed to help a Christian in his daily walk with the Lord. Suggestions are made for a daily devotional quiet time, in which a definite period of time is set aside each day for reading, studying, praying, and memorizing. With this lesson, you will also find a reading program, a prayer guide, and additional sermon notes. The third study, which begins at page 41, is called My Personal Witness and Follow-Up. In addition to the questions to be answered on these particular subjects, it also contains practical hints on witnessing and follow-up. The final step in the Bible study series, called My Personal Study on My Own, introduces a chapter-by-chapter study, which is an almost inexhaustible program of Bible study and Scripture memory. In the preparation of these studies, we have tried to keep in mind the inquirer who will be receiving little or no help in his Christian faith. Also, the inquirer, who will receive some help from a more mature Christian, and last, the inquirer, who will be receiving much help from his local church, where there will be group Bible classes for new Christians. We feel we have kept in mind the basic points of the Christian life. So if a Christian is experiencing some spiritual difficulties, he can come back and check himself with the points mentioned in the Bible study, namely, his personal commitment to Christ, his walk with Christ, and his witness and follow-up. Much can be said about materials, methods, and procedures for counseling, but we feel the most important subject we can discuss is personnel, people, you, as God's child. As someone has said, the world is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. Some of you, without past experience, may feel at this moment that you cannot do counseling. You may even feel a little nervous at the very thought of opening a Bible to help another person. I would suggest that you wait until you've listened to the lectures and done the home assignment work. I am sure that many of you will see that with God's help, you can do counseling. Perhaps it would encourage you a little bit to let you know that we discovered in a survey that more than 50% of the people enrolled in counselor classes had actually had no previous experience in counseling. It has been the testimony of scores of people around the world that the experience gained from counselor classes and counseling has been of lasting value to their Christian experience. So enter into the program with all your heart, and I am sure that God will help you and bless you. Some of you may be asking, why have counselors? I would say, first of all, to help secure commitments, and second, to help guide the inquirer to the Lord. Many times the gospel is given to more than one person at a time. It may be spoken to several, to 100, or to 1,000 at the same time. But when the decisive moment comes, it is up to each individual to make his own personal commitment to Christ. The gospel, going to a group, doesn't always take care of each person's specific need. Therefore, a trained Christian can be of great value in helping the inquirer, first with his personal commitment to Christ, and second with his daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, until he is spiritually mature enough to win and train others. Some of you may be asking another question. What about the qualifications of a counselor? I am sure that we would all readily agree that a person must know Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior and be able to say with Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Notice, when Paul was writing to his spiritual son Timothy, he could say, for I know whom I have believed. Let's all say it together. Are you ready? For I know whom I have believed. There was no doubt in his mind. It was a very straightforward statement. Paul had a positive relationship with Jesus Christ. Right now, would each of you turn in your New Testaments to 1 John and the 5th chapter? You'll find it near the end of the New Testament. 1 John 5, Hebrews, James, Peter, John. If you found Jude, you've passed it. It's just before Jude. 1 John, the 5th chapter, and the 11th verse. 1 John 5, 11. Have you found it? All right, follow along as I read it. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, where does it say eternal life is? Note that it says, and this life is in a person, Jesus Christ, God's Son. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. In the next verse, notice that there is no middle road. There are no shades of gray. Either you have received the Son or you have not. It says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In verse 13, we read, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In dealing with a person, you might ask him to read this verse, and then you misquote like this, that ye may think that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That ye may think that ye have eternal life. Then ask the person if this is what the verse says. If he says yes, then you know he has not followed closely. Ask him to read it a second time, and a third if necessary, or until he finally understands and sees the point. Then ask, is there a difference between think and know? What is the difference? We see then that on the authority of the Scriptures, we can have positive assurance of our salvation in Jesus Christ, and that if we have received Christ as our Savior, then we can say, we know we have eternal life. It is amazing that often when asked if a person is a Christian, we get the answer, well, I think so. I hope so. I'm working at it. When asking people, are you married? You never get such an answer. What would you think if they gave the same answers? Well, I think I'm married. I hope I'm married. I'm working at it. I think you would smile. You'll always get a straightforward answer, probably depending on the situation at home. The young married couple will come out with an answer, boy, you know I'm married. Sometimes you get a different answer from the old married man, but people always know if they're married or not. We can say, we know we are God's children because we have done what He has asked us to do, and on the authority of the Word of God, we know that we have eternal life. Then in John 3:16, we see that we have a positive possession. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's all say it together. Are you ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul, when writing to Timothy, said, I know whom I have believed. John said, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. According to John 3:16, believe on the Son, and you will have everlasting life. If any of you listening at this moment are in doubt concerning your relationship to Jesus Christ, I would suggest that you read John 3:16, and wherever possible, put your name. For example, for God so loved Bill or Mary or John, whoever it is, for God so loved Bill that he gave his only begotten son, that if Bill believeth in him, Bill should not perish, but Bill should have everlasting life. Perhaps the reason some people are not sure of salvation is because they have never actually looked to the passages of Scripture on this important subject. I would like for you to open your copy of my personal Bible study. Turn to page 10. My personal Bible study booklet. Turn to page 10. You have it? Page 10, my personal Bible study. Now, look at the top of the page. You will find a paragraph that says, in order to understand more clearly the difference between those of God and those not of God, look up the scripture references below. You notice there are two columns. The left one says, those not of God. And the right one says, those of God. Notice the first reference is 1 John 3:10. Under those of God, you will see the answer, children of God. Under those not of God, you will see the answer, children of the devil. The next reference is Acts 26:18. Under those not of God, the answer, they are in darkness. They are under the power of Satan. Under those of God, it says that they are in light. They are of God, aren't they? Next is Matthew 7:13 and 14, which is to be completed by you when you do your study assignment. Under those of God, you will write, there is a broad way, there is a wide gate, and many people are going to destruction. On the other side, under those of God, you write, there is a narrow way, a straight gate, and few people, but it leads to eternal life. Or as already mentioned in 1 John 5:12, he that hath not the Son, those not of God, he that hath the Son, those of God. And finally, look at the verse down at the bottom, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Have you passed from death unto life? Can you say for sure, I know I am a child of God? Well, if you have done what God has asked you to do, then on the authority of the Scriptures, you can say, I know that I am God's child. The second qualification we would mention, a counselor is a person who is abiding in Christ. Notice in 1 John 1, beginning with the 7th verse. Listen carefully. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But in the 6th verse, note, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In another verse, that must be familiar to all of you, John 15:5, Christ says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Notice that Jesus says that he is the vine, and we are the branches. That is, the horizontal branches reaching out to people everywhere. He says that if we abide in him, the branch of abiding in the vine, and he in us, the vine abiding in the branch, we shall bring forth much fruit. If we are to bring forth fruit for him, what does Christ say is necessary? Simply that we should be abiding or living in him, and he should be abiding in us. How much does it say we can do without him? A little bit? No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. This must bring to our mind another verse which says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The third qualification of a counselor would be for him to have a practical working knowledge of the Scriptures. To even mention this may discourage some, causing you to think, well, I don't know much about the Bible. I would like to say that if you will complete the Bible studies and memorize the verses, you will be ready to start witnessing. This has been experienced by thousands of people. It is a great joy to be able to open the Scriptures to help another person come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and to be able to show them from the Word of God that they can have forgiveness, or that they can be restored into fellowship with the Father. This doesn't depend on how much of the Scriptures we know necessarily, but on what we are doing with what we do know. The Scriptures are seed which God has seen fit to use and bless as it is ministered and taught in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the next lecture, we will be talking more about this particular point. Experience is not a prerequisite. To every child of God, to every person in the family of God, to every person who has been born by the Spirit of God into God's family, the command still stands, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is our constant responsibility until Jesus Christ comes back for us. Lastly, God is looking for a person with a willing heart, a person who would dare to trust him, to step out and witness to another about Jesus Christ, believing that God will help him get started in this all-important task, the most wonderful privilege that man has ever known, that of opening the Scriptures to another person to lead him to commit his life to Christ. When Paul wrote to the people at Corinth, he said, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, Paul states, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. We see that the heart of Paul's message was, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now the difference, perhaps, between Paul and some of us is that he might have been able to go to them in excellency of speech and in wisdom, but he did not do so. Why? In order that they should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Again we read, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. To summarize the qualifications of a counselor, I would say, first, he is a person who knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior. He's sure of it. Two, is abiding in Christ and is walking in fellowship with God. Three, has a practical working knowledge of the Scriptures. Four, he realizes that God does not necessarily call a person of great speaking ability or a person of great wisdom according to this world, but a person who is willing to be used by the Spirit to tell others that Jesus Christ came, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and is now on the right hand of God. This was Paul's message to the people of Corinth. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And now, let's talk about your home assignment work. Just 20 minutes a day in concentrated study will get you through your Bible study assignment. Right now, I wonder if you would notice your assignment listed at the bottom of the outline for Lecture 1. First, Bible study. Complete My Personal Commitment, Lessons 1 and 2. Answer all the questions in Lessons 1 and 2. This section begins at page 5 in your Bible study book. Be sure to read the instruction sheet. Read it carefully. And then notice the definitions. If you come across any word in your studies that you don't understand, refer back to the definition sheet. In fact, you might find it very helpful just to read down the list of the definitions. Perhaps you'll have greater understanding of certain words. After you've done all of this, then be sure that you answer all the questions. Perhaps you are asking, when is the best time to study? For some, it might be best to study at night. For others, the best time is probably in the morning. Someone has said, why have quiet time at night? Few people get in trouble while they're sleeping. But of course, we don't have quiet time just to keep us out of trouble, do we? If you're going to study in the morning, I would say that getting up in the morning starts the night before. Be practical. Have your Bible, pen, paper, and My Personal Bible Study ready the night before. Then set the alarm clock the night before, about 20 minutes earlier. Get up and meet the Lord and see if he doesn't give you a better day for having had fellowship with him. Secondly, in your assignment, memorize the first two verses from the Steps to Commitment sheet. These verses are Romans 3:23 and Acts 26:18. You will notice that on each individual verse card there is a subject, a verse, and a reference. Please read the instructions carefully at the top of this memory sheet, called Steps to Commitment. You will be assigned two verses to memorize with each lesson, so take special care that you remove the proper cards from the sheet. Detach these two cards right now, Romans 3:23 and Acts 26:18. Detach them from the large sheet at the perforations. We want you to carry these verses with you. When you are reviewing, would you review your verses like this, using the subject, the reference, and the verse, and the reference again? The fact of sin, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. This is to help you mentally catalog the verse by its subject, and also memorize the most difficult part, which is the address, or the place where the verse lives, that is, its reference. Third, sermon note forms should be taken to church next Sunday and used as your minister preaches. Please look at the sermon note form, page 15, in your Bible study booklet. This is designed to help you get more from messages preached by your minister. When you go to church next Sunday, would you please take this form along with your Bible and a pen and go expecting to get much from the message. I remember I gave these forms out to a certain man one time and asked him to take notes the following Sunday when he was in church. You know what the man said? He said, "My minister will probably faint when he sees me taking notes." My reply, "That's quite all right. Don't you worry. When he comes to and stands up, he will probably preach better than he's ever preached before." I am certain it will encourage your minister to have him see you taking notes and using your Bible, and then later coming back to him and saying, "I got this and this from the message. It was a great blessing, and I see there are new things for me to obey." On the reverse side of the sermon note form, there is a space for the name of a person with whom you can share these truths. I am sure you will get much more from messages by using these sermon note forms. I suppose that some are already saying, "I'm so busy, I really don't see how I can do this extra work." Well, I know you must be busy. We are living in a day when everyone is busy. But I wonder if you would mind writing down this figure on your paper in your notes. Right now, you got your pencil ready or your pen? Write this down on your paper. 10,080. 10080. You have it? 10,080. That's how many minutes you have in 1 week. Do you suppose you could spare just 20 minutes a day? Just 20. 20 minutes a day for concentrated study? I am sure you can. And that once you start, if you're not already doing it, God will bless you in such a way that you will go on and probably spend even a little more time. Be careful not to waste time just getting started. And now, may we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give Thee praise and thanks for the blessed assurance from Thy Word that if we have received Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we have eternal life. We pray, Lord, that if there's anyone within the sound of this message who has never received Christ, or even at this moment is not absolutely sure whether he is Thy child or not, that as he does his Bible study assignment, he will receive assurance of salvation through Thy Word as he is enlightened by Thy Holy Spirit. Then, Lord, we pray for each of us that we would renew our dedication to Thee, that we might be abiding in Thee moment by moment. O God, do a work in our hearts and draw us near to Thee, and then encourage us to go forward as living witnesses. Encourage our hearts in these days too, as we study and memorize Thy Word. Help us to have faith in Thee, that we can do counseling, that we can do personal work, that we can witness to other people, because You are going to give us the power and the strength and the wisdom. For we ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen.